All right, good morning. Happy Father's Day to you guys, all the dads in here. Hey, let's give it up one more time for all the dads. Hey, what an amazing day. You know, this is actually the least attended church day in the year, and it's true. They tell you if you're a lead pastor, they say, if you ever want time off, get a guest speaker in on Father's Day. But forget that. We're going for it all the way. Amen. Hey, good morning. Welcome, you guys. A couple announcements. Number one, we have had a gnarly month with kids in our community passing away. It's just been absolutely insane. And I really believe that's why God had led it on Vicky's heart to pray over the children last week. Do you remember when they came up? And Vicky was asking you guys, listen, pray over our kids, pray over our children. There's so much going on out there. And this couple nights ago, we had a young kid in our youth group that grew up with my kids, knows our family really well. We love this boy. And on, I think it was Thursday night or Friday night, this guy was driving drunk in a truck with him in it, and they rolled it out there on Thousand Line, and it killed him. And I got the news yesterday. Dave gave me a call, and he told me what had happened. And, we need to keep our kids in a headship of prayer. Amen? We got to be praying for them. If you don't have any kids, check this out. Pray for somebody else's kids if you don't have any. Because one day you're going to have kids, and you're going to wish to God that they were praying for yours like you should be praying for theirs right now. And so we want to keep our kids in prayer. Also, too, Bible study at Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Woohoo! Like two people. And that's how many, and by the way, that's how many has been showing up. Two people. Actually, it's been a little bit more than that. I was talking to Pastor Luke. He gave me a text Wednesday night. He's like, man, how's Bible study going? And I'm like, discouraging. It was like, yeah. Anyways, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, if you guys are around, come on out. It's amazing, right? We're getting into the Word of God. We're learning about Jesus. And it's a really, I don't know, it's a lot like today. You know, we're a pretty casual church, so there's really not much difference. I was going to try to make it sound better than it is to get you guys to come, but forget it. It's good. It's good. So Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Also, check this out. Do you guys remember our event last year for CASA? You remember how we had packed this place from the front to the back all the way out? Well, this year, it's going to be insane huge. It's going to be so big. In fact, mark it on your calendars. It's going to be sometime in September. If you want to help with the event, let me know. But I'm meeting with the pastors tomorrow in our community, and we're going to be going over the schedule for September because we're getting the churches together on this event for churches for CASA. So if you're able to help, and by the way, let me just get the elephant out the room. If you got a problem with CASA, it might be because you got a problem. Now listen. CASA is not DHS, and we all know DHS has got their issues, amen? Yes. Okay, CASA is cool, and I'm going to tell you why. Because DHS will go into a home, and there's kids that should be taken from that home. That's just a fact, Jack. But at the same time, there's kids who should stay there. And you know what CASA does? Because DHS will go in, they'll take your kid. They don't care, it's not their kid. And there's this system that kids fall through the cracks. And so what CASA does is they get involved intimately and they check everything out. So if the best thing for that child is to stay in the home, and sometimes it is, they make sure that that happens. They're for the kids. CASA is for the kids. And if you got a problem with CASA, then you must got some problem with kids. CASA is for the kids, all right? And so we want to support them, amen? Let's get behind them. Let's help them. Let's bring some awareness to the cause, because it's a good cause. Unless you're just a nasty person and don't like children or dogs. Cats are of the devil. We know that. So let's get into the Word of God this morning. Hey, if you got your Bibles, let's head on over to 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 1 this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to encourage you guys, bring your Bibles. If you guys have a Bible at home, I don't care if it's got like 5 inches of mud on that thing, just sweep it off and get it to church. You guys know I don't like your iPhones. You know that, right? Because your iPhone, you're doing banking, checking Facebook, checking your Instagram. Nobody's liking your stuff anyway. So listen, just get the Word, get the Word. You want something that you can hold in your hand, amen? Something that's set apart from the world and all this other stuff that you guys got going on your phone. Let's have a Bible, okay? So 1 Corinthians, and let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. How about that? Because I might run my mouth a little bit too much and you guys would get mad at me. So we need to ask God to put a filter, okay? So Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's so many people who are sick and can't make it. So many people that don't have legs, that work. Father, there's so many people shut up in the hospital down the street, yet you have given us breath and life and feet to get here, and we thank you for that, Lord. We praise you for it. And so, Lord, we need to hear from you today, and I pray that you speak, Lord. We're expecting you to speak into our life today, God. This is your word for our world. So speak, Jesus. Your servants, we're listening. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. Amen. So we finished chapter 1 Wednesday night. Chapter 1, verse 31, Paul had ended that chapter. If you look just a few verses up from where we're starting in chapter 2, he said to the church in Corinth, he says, if anyone glories, let him glory in the Lord. If anyone boasts, let him boast in the Lord. If anybody's got joy, let him have joy in the Lord. Now, let me set the context on why he was telling these people this. Because the Bible's not about then and there 2,000 years ago. You guys know that, right? When God gave us his word, it's for us today. The Bible tells us so. And so when he says, listen, if anybody glories, boasts, or is rejoicing, let him do it in the Lord. Why, Paul? Here's why. Because these people in the church of Corinth were pretty messed up people. And a lot of them were foolish. A lot of them weren't wise. A lot of them weren't powerful. A lot of them weren't elite. They were public school kids, okay? Homeschool, normal people. And there was so much going on into the church, and there was so much issues that they were experiencing in the church, and God was still being faithful to them and good to them. And that's why Paul says, if you glory, you need to glory in the Lord. And the reason why, check this out, is because there is glory in your story. Did you know that? If you look over your life and you see where you are today, and by the way, you may not be where you want to be, but you sure ain't where you were. Amen? Come on, if God's changed your life, if you're honest about it. And so if you look over your story and over your history, there's glory in our story, isn't there? Man, we can give God praise for that and rejoice in it. And sometimes we don't like... Here's the thing about the difference between us and the church in Corinth. There's really not much difference between them and us at all. The only difference of it is every Sunday you get to come in here and look at their life on the screen. You get to see their story on the screen on how dysfunctional, how messed up, all the issues they got. Hey, let me ask you something before we get into the Word a little bit. If we were to play your life story on the screen today, all your thoughts, all your actions, all the stuff you've done, hey, how about all the stuff you wanted to do that you didn't get a chance to do, and this was your Sunday, and we started putting your stuff up on the screen, how many of you guys would run up to the sound booth and beat up Danny before he could get it off on the screen? Be honest. I could see women up there getting him in a headlock and jacking him right up. Don't put that. Wait, hold on there. Don't put that up there. I had someone ask me this week. They're like, Jason, so tell me a little bit about your story. Because obviously you've got a past. And you know what I said? I said, you really don't want to know all that. What I was really saying is I really don't want to tell you. And here's why. Because if we're honest about it, there's a lot of stuff in our past we don't want people to know. You're sitting next to someone that doesn't know everything, even though they think they know you. But if you think about it, there is glory in your story, isn't there? God's got you guys a long way. You know what the good news is? He's not done yet. Other people may be done with you. God's not done with you yet. God's long-suffering. He doesn't quit. He's in it to win it to the end. And so Paul writes this letter to the church in Corinth who is going through some issues. And he's loving them. He's praying for them. He's instructing them. He's encouraging them. Why? Because he hasn't given up on them. Thank God for people in your life who know your story and still stay. That might be your mom, that might be your husband, that might be your wife, that might be a good friend of yours. And they know your story and they still say, do you got anybody like that in your life? They know about you and yet they still got your back. They know all this stuff about you, but if anybody was ever to talk bad about you, boy, they would stop it cold in a minute. That's a gift from God. Did you know that? When someone knows your story and yet they stay, we need to thank God for people like that. Thank you, Jesus, for putting people in our life. I thank God for Vicky. I'll tell you what, if God wouldn't have given me this woman, I promise you I would be dead, not in jail. Some people say, oh, I'd be in prison. I would be dead. I guarantee you that. And some of you have got moms here today that have had your back over and over and over again. Thank God for fathers on Father's Day who don't quit. You know what? Let me talk to you for a second. I got to get going on this message, but I want to talk to you for a second, dads. I know you don't think you get it right all the time, and I know how you feel, but I'm going to tell you something. You're still there. You're still in their life, and that's going to matter more than you getting it right 100% of the time. Trust me. Thank God for you guys. Thank God for me. I thank God for my son-in-laws. Good men raising their children in the Lord. Thank you. Thank you guys. I just want to thank you. Let's give it up for the fathers one more time. Man, thank you guys. Thank you guys. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Don't ever quit seeking to be the man of God God wants you to be because he's got a plan for your life. And so Paul knows their story and yet he stays. And he says to him in chapter 2, verse 1, are you there? Say amen. Amen. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. When Paul came to the church in Corinth, when he says that, you need to understand, when he says, I didn't come to you knowing anything but Jesus, he didn't come to Corinth as super apostle Paul, y'all. He could have done it too. Paul was the business. The dead would rise. Do you remember Eutychus, who fell out the window because he was preaching all night long? That always encourages me when I feel like I'm going a long time. Paul was preaching 24 hours, and this kid was like, man, I can't take no more of this. He fell asleep, went out the window, and died. Fell right out the window. And you know what? And that's how come. You remember Eutychus? Because you would have cussed too. Get it? On the way home. It'll click. You'll be like, yeah, that was good. Actually, that was gold. So listen, sorry, preacher joke. But listen, raise the dead. People would get healed by touching his snot rag. This guy had power as an apostle. Man, he was powerful. Read about him. But yet, he doesn't roll up into Corinth as super apostle Paul. In fact, he comes in and he's just humble, lowly Paul, just trying to preach the gospel and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said to him, he says, I determined not to know anything among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the reason why is because if you just go back to Acts chapter 17, before he went to Corinth in chapter 18, the Bible tells us that Paul was before philosophers and reasoners and people who would debate and all this stuff. And he had good argumentation, and he was trying to mix in the Bible with man's wisdom. And you know what happened when he tried to mix the two? Nobody got saved. Nobody got saved. Nobody gave their life to Jesus. Nobody was like, man, I need God. And so when he comes to Corinth, he's like, man, forget that. I'm just going to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was smart. You know, we're not saved by the cross. We're saved by the one on it. And my goal from week in to week out, from day in to day out, month after month, year after year here at Ark Bible Church is to preach the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Amen? The cross. We need to preach the cross. Our sins are forgiven. We've been redeemed. The slate's washed clean forever. Not just for what we did, but what you will do. Because by the way, you're gonna walk out of this place and I'm sure something's gonna come up. We don't always get it right all the time, but Jesus did. There's just nowhere else to go but the cross. It's everything. I was talking to Pastor Luke last night. We pray over each other before Sundays. And we were just talking about, man, all the deaths and all the stuff that's been going on in our community. And I just told him, I said, man, we need Jesus. Like, that's it. At the end of the day, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need the cross. And so Paul tells them, he says, he just taught them simply, the word of God simply. And he says in verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That really spoke to me when I read that, because Paul, when he goes to them, he says, I was in weakness, fear, and trembling. And the reason why that spoke to me is because when he was sharing the gospel, he got anxious about it. When he was telling people about Jesus, it wasn't that easy. And you wouldn't know what that's like unless you've tried it. See, it's easy to look back and say, oh, Paul, why were you so scared? Let me ask you something. Have you ever shared the gospel with anybody? Do you know how awkward it can be? I can straight up awkward. And it can be intimidating, and it can be scary. But you know what Paul says? He says, feel the fear and do it anyway. Step out on that and see what God will do. He'll step in when we step out, amen? That's what he did. He goes, man, I know it's. I feel weird about this, and I came to you guys in fear and trembling, and it's okay to feel anxious about telling people about Jesus, praying with people, but it's not okay to be ruled by that. You know, God's called us to infiltrate, not isolate, right? And then you talk to people and you know what they say? Oh, well, there's two things I don't talk about. Religion and, yep. And that's your problem. Here's the problem. You're treating the gospel like it's a religion when it's a relationship, and you're comparing it with politics. Man, no wonder you don't share the gospel. But you know what? When you're talking to people and you're like, let me just tell you, can I pray with you? You just lost your kid. You found out someone's sick. They're going through something they didn't expect. They're making a transition in their life and their career. They just moved down here. They ain't gonna have friends, whatever. And you get into their life and say, can I just pray with you? And I know some of you want to reach out and do that. But it is hard. But I'm gonna tell you what Paul tells us. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Do it and watch what God does. And so now Paul says, he reminds them that he didn't come to them with methods on top of with communication skills, but in the power of the Spirit. In verse 4, he said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, here's why Paul wasn't clever, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So Paul says, I didn't preach to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. Now, one of the things I get as a pastor is people will come up to me and they'll be like, Jason, this is so funny, because you know who you are. You sent me a video this morning to watch. And listen, this was not planned. But it does go into my story. Because people as a pastor will say, man, Jason, did you hear about this guy on TV? Oh man, he was so powerful, he was so good, he was so influential, he was all this, and he was, here, you got to see this message, And I look at all of that and I think, you know what? Yeah, they're persuasive. They've got communication skills. They can speak to you in such a way that you're going to be hanging on like this. And by the way, that's a skill that you learn. And it's not a good one necessarily. See, I've studied communication. I know how to get you guys when I want to get you. And that's it's a blessing and it's a curse. Because you're relying on tactics and you're relying on methods. Do you know all week I prepared a message for you guys? Hours. I told my kid, every time my kid wakes up, I'm at my computer. Every time she goes to bed, I'm at my computer. Now, I'm not there all the time, but I'm there a lot. And I had a message for you guys that I spent hours on. And you know what the Lord told me at 5 p.m. last night? Throw it in the garbage. Which is not good if you're speaking the next morning and you need a message. Because there's a bunch of stuff that you would have been saying amen to, guaranteed. But you know what? It would have been in the wisdom of me. It would have been in the wisdom of man. And the Lord says, Jason, you throw that in the garbage and you get up there and you teach my text. And at 5 o'clock until 10 o'clock last night, I said, okay. Because when it comes down to it, we don't need methods. We need power. We need God's word. We need to hear, because faith comes by hearing and what? That's it. We got to hear the word of God. It's not by clever things like buying the latest book and having a message on 7 reasons why you're never going to get ahead in life. We don't need that. That's not going to help you when you're in that deep valley of despair and you've got nobody you can turn to because you've turned to everybody else. Maybe you've burnt them and you've got nowhere else to go. You can still go to Jesus. But you need Jesus' word. You got to hear from his word. And so Paul's like, listen, I didn't rely on methods. I just came in the spirit and I let him do what he was going to do with his word. And so now he says that in verse 6, he says, but we do speak wisdom. So Paul's not like, I want you to be stupid Christians. He says, we do speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. All he's saying is that there's a difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. Isn't that true? Think about it. Wednesday night, I asked the question, is our culture, is our schools, is our mentality any better today because of the wisdom of the world today? It always changes. We're no better. Look at our government. Look at this stuff. We don't even know how to define what a human being is anymore. The wisdom of this world, are you any better? Really? No. And it's because it's ignorance. Isn't it funny how wisdom over the ages changes? On Wednesday night, we were talking about bathtubs. When bathtubs first came out, did you know they were outlawed in many states because the scientists said it would cause you infections and make you sick? And do you guys remember when the doctors told you to smoke because it would lower your blood pressure and it was good for you? You remember that? Some of you are like, yeah, I don't want to admit it, but yeah. That was a long time ago. And for some of us, do you guys remember going to the store and buying those candy cigarettes? The little mints that you'd roll up in your shirt? Did anybody else do that? Because it was cool, man. You can't, as a kid, you can't go buy candy cigarettes no more. They kind of frown on it. But the reality of it is man's wisdom changes, but God stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so Paul's saying, listen, we stand on the wisdom of God. And if you want to get wisdom, you need to get in the Word. Amen? If you're raising a human being, you better be getting some wisdom in the Lord. If you're retired and you're spending more time together because you're not spending time at work, guess what you're going to need? You're going to need some wisdom because you guys are going to kill each other. If you're newly married and you're finding out the person you just married is kind of selfish and you weren't expecting all that, guess what? You need wisdom. We need wisdom. We need God's wisdom. And that's what Paul said that he was resting on. In verse 7, he says, but we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. It's a mystery, something we can't figure out. And basically what he's saying is we can't figure it out unless the Lord shows us. That's why Jesus prayed in Matthew 11, verse 25. He says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babies. Even so, Father, so it seemed good for you to do in your sight. Isn't that amazing that the smartest people in the world can't get the gospel, but a baby can? Children are open. They're down with it. You can teach the word of God. That's why Vicky loves teaching the kids. They listen. They take it in. They want to know about it. And so Jesus was saying that God's the one who reveals truth. And I think that's why when people come to church and they think it's boring, like church is the most boringest place in the world to them. If the dentist was open, they would be there. If the IRS was open, they'd be doing their taxes. If school was open, they'd be at school. Because church is it's the most boringest pastor. It's the most boringest place in the world. You're boring. Okay? It's like, listen, when we open up our mind to God's word and we're praying, Lord, I need to see. And he starts showing you his word and it starts coming alive. And I know some of you may not be there yet. But you will be. And you get into God's word and you're going through a struggle and you've got some fear and you got some things in your life that's going on. You go to God's word, you open it up, and he speaks to you. There's power in that. And you will go to bed not waiting to get up the next morning to see what else he's got to say. Now listen, I know that may not be where you're at, but could you imagine that? To where you had such a love for the word of God that every time you opened the word, it spoke to you in a deep level. But to everybody else, Paul's saying it's a mystery. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, this is what God promises. Those who look for me will find me when they seek me with all of their heart. If you come to church next time and you don't expect God to listen, guess what you're going to get? Exactly what you expected. But when you prepare the night before and say, God, listen, I'm going to go to church tomorrow and I need you to speak and I'm listening, guess what you're going to get? When those seek me with all their heart, guess who you're going to find? Jesus. You're going to bump right up into him. He's going to get up into your business. And so Paul says that he speaks the wisdom not of this world. And now, verse 9, he says, but as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, and these things which God has prepared for them who love him. He's talking about what you see when you get into the Word of God. It's important, and you already know this, but I'm just going to just kind of restate it. It's so important that you get into the Word of God for yourself. Last night, I sat down at my computer, and I was eating two Whoppers with cheese and a large fry. And if you ever want to feel more depressed about your life, ask Siri how many calories are in it. And that's what I did. Check this out. I was sitting there at my dinner table, and I'm stuffing my face. And I said, hey, Siri, how many calories in a Big Mac and fries? And Siri goes, beep, beep, this is what I found on the website. And I looked at, and this is the God's honest truth, I looked at Siri and I said, I didn't ask you to pull it up. I asked you to tell me how many calories it is. And it's what's so funny about that is I started thinking about how we come to the Word of God and we want someone else to just tell me. I didn't ask you to look it up. I want you just to tell me. I don't want to look it up myself. That's what I was doing with Siri. She's like, here's some info. But I had to go looking around. I'm like, forget that. I'm eating my face full of Burger King. I'm not going to go look around for seeing how horrible this is for me. I just want you to tell me calorie count. Tell me calorie count. And some people come to church. Just tell me. Just tell me. But you know what? Man, when we get at home And God tells you, oh, it'll trump whatever I can tell you 1,000 times. And one of the things that we see is that no eye has heard, or no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Now listen, we're getting ready to close this out, so just hang in there with me. But I want you to think of the most beautiful place that you could imagine right now. And if it's Toledo and Siletz, you're sick. There's something wrong with you. You need to get help today. You need an intervention. But if you can think of the most beautiful sound you ever heard, and maybe it's jazz. Amen? Come on, how many of you guys love jazz? Seriously, don't be ashamed of it, by the way. Oh, yes, there's my jazz people. Is smooth jazz the best? Oh, yes, it is. Who said no? I rebuke that. Listen to me. Smooth jazz. I go home every day and I say, hey, Google, play smooth jazz. And then Vicky says, hey, Google, shut up. But think about the best thing that you could ever listen to. Do you know that when you get into paradise with the Savior, that God is a specific God and he knows how to bless you specifically? And you're going to be in a place where you're just like, whoa, Lord, I don't know if you knew this, but I love that. Like, that is so legit. And then you're going to come over here and you're just going to be like, you know, you didn't know this, but I love this. This is so amazing. People are weird and they've got weird things that they're into. Amen? Country music, sushi, stuff like that, right? But God knows what blesses us. And he's a specific God. And Paul brings this issue up, but here's the interesting thing about what Paul just said. A lot of you thought he was saying that to you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered in the thoughts of man, the things that God has for those who love him. And you're like, yeah, that's so cool. You're speaking to me. No, he's not. You know who he's talking to? Atheists. Paul's talking to the agnostics, the atheists right there. Make a note of it. Not you. He's saying that those who don't believe in God, who don't trust God, who gave their life to God, they have no clue as to what's there if they would just submit and surrender to the loving Savior. Because in the next verse, this is how we know. In verse 10, he says, but God has revealed it to them, to us, by his Spirit. So God has revealed it to us by his Spirit that searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So listen, what that means, child of God, is that, you know, sometimes when life gets hard is the more we focus on heaven. Am I right? When you open that wallet and moths fly out, that kind of is like a reminder, man, thank you, God, that this place isn't all that there is. When we're having difficulties in this life, we know that there's been that piece of heaven in us that's telling us that there's something greater coming. It's interesting. When life gets hard is the more we think about heaven. And so Paul, let's wrap this up. He says in verse 11, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him, even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And so basically what Paul's telling you is you don't know what other people are thinking. In fact, some of you think you know people and you really don't know them. Have you ever come into that situation where you thought you knew somebody, but you didn't really know them? Because there's stuff deep inside of people that nobody else knows. In fact, even your wife doesn't know a lot of the things that you know. Your husband doesn't know a lot of the things that you know. Even though you've been together forever, there's just some deep stuff. How many of you guys know you're deep? You remember the woman at the well? And she says, you come to the well, but how are you going to draw? The well is deep and you've got nothing to pull from. I think that woman wasn't just talking about that well. I think she was talking about her heart. The well is deep and you ain't getting down in there. And so what Paul's saying is, listen, But we have the mind of Christ. We know what pleases him. We know what he loves. We know that what he wants. And so in verse 13, he says, which things we also speak, not in the words which our man's wisdom do we teach, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, and he can neither know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God. Do you know there's like a movement today about natural being better? Everything's natural, everything's organic. You go to Fred Meyer, go to the natural food section. Paul says, being natural because it's natural is not always better. In fact, check it out. What's natural? Could you imagine doing whatever came natural to you? If you're driving and somebody cuts you off and then gives you the finger, and you're like, oh, it's natural for me to extend the finger of fellowship my own self. If you told your wife every time what you were really thinking in the middle of that argument, well, I'm going to tell you guys something. What's natural isn't always best. It's not always better. Sometimes it's a disaster. And Paul's saying that the natural man, when it comes to the Word of God, that he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it, but we get it and we understand it because we're in God's Word. And so we got to remember that God doesn't want us to just be natural, but supernatural. And I'm going to end with this. Verse 15, worship team, come on up. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. Say it with me, don't judge me. One more time. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. You don't know me. Don't judge me. You don't know me. So Paul says, but the spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The spiritual man judges all things. It instructs us. You know, the Word of God instructs us. The Word of God teaches us. This is how we judge everything. And as we spend time in God's Word, it's going to help us judge what's right or wrong in our life. Amen? As we spend time in God's Word, it's going to help us judge what is right and what is wrong in my life and in your life. Do you got anybody in your life that tells you how to live? I know your mom. But you know what? You can have friends telling you how to live. You can have your wife, you can have your spouse, a distant cousin. Everybody's got their opinion on how you need to pull it together, what you need to do, and the decisions you got to make. But the Word of God says, listen, there is wisdom in the Word. And that when we get into the Word, it teaches us what works in our life. That's why Paul spent so much time on chapter 2. This has all been about wisdom. And so will you guys stand with me? I want to close out with this idea. In all of chapter 2, you see that word wisdom, 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 wisdom keep coming up. And you guys know that wisdom is different than knowledge, right? Because knowledge is just, this is what you do. Wisdom is actually knowing how to do it. So if you go to beauty school and they say, hey, this is how you cut hair, but you get out of beauty school and you don't know how to cut hair, guess what? You're gonna be messing people's heads up. And it's gonna be messed up. But Paul says, listen, there's a wisdom of God that works, that when you learn and you know the Word, that's why we're here today. We wanna know, seek God's face and know his heart. That then what happens is that wisdom starts working out in your life. And so Paul says we need to have that wisdom. We need to have that wisdom. And so, listen, I want to close out with this thought, that the Word works. The Word works. The Word works. If you get into God's Word, it's going to work into your life. And Paul ended that off and he says, had they known these people, had they known about the wisdom and the words of Christ, and had they put it and applied in their life, they would not have crucified Jesus. Because they crucified Jesus because they were going off of the wisdom of the world. Which tells me that the reason why people make the biggest mistakes in their life is because they're not listening to the wisdom of the Lord. The word works. And so this is what I want to do. I want to encourage you this week to listen, learn, and live. That's it. Listen, learn, and live. Will you do me a favor and make a commitment this morning? You're like, well, I don't know, Jason. What's the commitment? It's just this. Read your Bible every day this month for 1 month. Can you do that? Can you do it for 10 minutes? Yes or no? Will you do it? You two or three of you. Hey, just say yes real loud with me on the count of three. One, two, three.
Yes!
Okay, you've made a commitment before the Lord, and he's going to get you if you don't honor it, okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. And your word works. There's wisdom in your word. Father, I pray as we make a commitment to you this week that we're going to get into your word for 5-10 minutes every day for this next month. God, that you would do and work in amazing things in our life, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. And if you're here this morning and you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, this is the time that you make that choice. So if you're saved, I want you to right now be praying for the one who needs to make a commitment to Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, to have their sins forgiven, to have the past, to have the present, to have the future wiped clean for all eternity by putting your faith and your hope and your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and him on the cross. Paul said, I didn't come with eloquence of words or methods. I came with Jesus Christ and him crucified, because that's what the message we need to accept this morning. And if that's you, and maybe God's been trying to get a hold of you for a few years, or you've been running around, this is your opportunity to hit the brakes and say, I want to square up with you, God. I want my sins forgiven. I want a new life. I want a new direction. I want your wisdom. This is your opportunity. And so would you just say it with me? You can say it in your heart. However you want to do it, it's entirely up to you. But you need to make a decision today. And so say it with me. Father, forgive me of my sins. I place my trust in you, my hope in you. God, take my sins, although they are scarlet, make them white as snow. Come into my life, change my life, and make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God praise this morning.